Welcome to DG's Courtroom, brought to you by No Halftime. No Halftime is a DFS app that allows you to play one-on-one fantasy contests. Use promo code BBALL100 to get a deposit bonus worth up to $100. You can download the No Halftime app on the Apple Store or Amazon.com. This episode of DG's Courtroom is also sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Tuesday, January 3rd, 2017. A very nice but yet tricky 8-game slate. Unlike Monday, where we saw all the superstars in play, tons of games with massive over-unders, that is not the case Tuesday, my friends. We have lots of teams that are nasty, like the muck it up in the mud, are at a turtle pace. We also have a lot of teams, the San Antonios and the Memphis and the Utah, teams that are very tough for us to play, tough to figure out. Not to mention, we also have tons of injury news. So this is actually a slate that I'm super psyched for this slate on Tuesday. Quite honestly, on Monday, even though we had all the superstars and with Golden State playing and the massive over-unders, like I was really weary about the slate. I ended up doing okay and was able to make a profit, even though the Houston game. If you watched that Houston game, I hope some of you guys did. I hope I wasn't tortured alone. That entire game, I mean, even the announcers, they were just screaming, pace, pace. I wanted to make t-shirts and throw it at my TV. Fly to Houston and give it to all the players, give it to the training staff, because the pace of that game was so slow. It was supposed to be a 230 over-under, and it was dreadful how slow it was. Anyway, but Monday was still a good night. I was able to make some money, and if you make money playing DFS, you really can't complain too much, but the judge will still find a way to complain. Before we get started into the show, make sure you download the app Draft and use the promo code DFBPOD. I am doing a special chambers, the judges chambers on Draft for the first time on Tuesday. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I think I'm going to, it's basically, and again, if you haven't downloaded the app, what are you even doing, man? The judge has been telling you to, the bailiff has been telling you to. It does help. It really does help me out if you can do that for me. And basically we're going to run some 10-man tournaments. It's basically just like a 10-person snake draft around, like, I think 5 and 6 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. So if you want to get in on the chambers on Draft, it's a lot of fun. Just the easiest thing to do would be to tweet me at DanielAGreen1. Tweet me your username that you have on the app Draft. That'd probably be the easiest thing to do. Or you can also email it to me if you go to my website, dgcourtroomdfs.com. You can email me that way if you want to as well. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that on Tuesday. And if you want, also obviously rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. I am telling you, the judge is not happy. The first thing I do when I wake up after my 2 hours sleep, I go to the iTunes rankings. I see if DG's Courtroom has entered the top 150 in the sports and recreation. And I continually see these shows with two ladies sitting in a canoe above us. Some people doing fly bass fishing. I think there's an archery podcast that's beating us. This makes the judge very angry. I mean, how are we losing to these shows? We have over 5,000 listeners on average. And I mean, I don't know. I got to figure out how we get in that rankings. I do know if you rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast, that's the main way that we can get in those rankings. And that will help with sponsors for 2017. And I'm looking to get some big fish for us, which will also make the podcast even better, which is, I don't know if that's even possible. Right, guys? But there are some things that I really would like to improve in the podcast, especially like the audio. I want to get some sound effects and just do a bunch of cool stuff, some IT stuff that would cost a little money, and sponsors would definitely help with that. All right. Lastly, if you would like a consultation, a 30-minute phone call with the judge, I mean, this is just too good to be true, if you ask me. you can still hit me up for that. You can find me on Twitter, obviously, like I just mentioned, at DanielAGreen1, or email me via the website. You know, the podcasts are great, but we really only have time to focus on each day's slate and go over some Chambers news, talk a little Dream Killers, Dream Lovers. But the consultation is really about making sure you're entering the right contest, because I know for a fact like 90% of you are not. So like a big part of the consultation is making sure you're entering the right stuff. We go over research techniques, and you know, a lot of it is just kind of, you know, wherever your deficiency is in DFS, you know, you would know better than anyone. That's kind of the area that we will spend the most of the time targeting to kind of improve your results. I mean, I did a consultation on Monday, and we spent the entire time in the FanDuel lobby. We were just trying to figure out the right contest for this person to enter, because you know, and he would tell you himself, he was entering all of the wrong contests. And I mean, that's like, that really is half the battle. And I know I hear from you guys all the time, just on Twitter, how you guys are, you know, loving the single entry contests. Stay away for the most part from these large GPPs. I mean, you can play them. You know, obviously, I mean, if you can take down a big GPP, you can potentially win $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, which is great, but your odds are just so slim. And the lineups that you guys are probably using in those tournaments are nowhere near risky enough, and with enough upside, with enough guys with less than 5% ownership to really take those down. So I just really want to make sure you're entering the right tournaments, so you can actually make a money, because so much of DFS, which has been so annoying for me, I think that, you know, is just watching the industry take advantage of so many people and making it easy for the pros and people who are, you know, doing max entries, or who are sitting home in their parents' basement with, you know, popping their zits with their computer programs, doing every possible lineup combination. And it's very hard for us to, you know, who are even people like me who are only playing maybe 10 to 20 lineups a night. I can't compete with a computer who's playing 200, 300, 400, 1,000 lineups a night. So we have to look for every possible way to maximize our results. Find contests with lower cash lines, and just find easier ways for us to make money, because it's possible, man. Like, I've been making a nice profit since I've been playing for 3 years, playing DFS. So, it's easily doable, or I shouldn't say easily, but it's doable, but you just got to make sure you're doing the right things. So make sure, you know, if you do have more kind of general macro problems in DFS, make sure if you want a consultation, reach out to me, and we'll try to squeeze you in. I kind of opted now. I'm doing two a day, just because I have been getting a decent amount of requests. And so, yeah, so that's and I like hearing from you. It's always good to talk to the people who are listening to the show, following me on Twitter, and you know, living the DFS life like the judge. It's a crazy world, man. All right, Chambers tournament on FanDuel for Monday. And remember, if you play Chambers, make sure you somehow let me know what your Twitter handle is, especially if you win Chambers that night. Although I know a lot of times we won't know who wins till 1 o'clock Eastern in the morning, and I know a lot of you guys have to be in bed, because let's face it, we have jobs. We got to wake up super early, and you know, you don't want to do a podcast like the judge at 3-4 in the morning. I don't blame you. So you may be fast asleep, you may wake up to some Chambers glory. That's fantastic if you do. But if I could get your Twitter handle, so I mean, the easiest way to do is, if you're new to Chambers, even if you're not, just whenever you enter, just tweet me your Twitter handle right away. And I would just say, when you do that, let me know your username on FanDuel and also your Twitter handle. And then there you go. That's taken care of. So then I can give you a proper shout out when you achieve Chambers glory, right? And that's what it's about. So the Chambers tournament, for the new listeners, I know we have some new listeners, because I got a bunch of tweets today saying they're first time listeners to the podcast and they wanted to know what Chambers was. Chambers is just a daily tournament that I run on FanDuel. Usually we run three tournaments a day. I think it's some of the best competition. I know it's some of the best competition in DFS land. We have professionals, lineup providers, just really experienced players. And then the other end of the spectrum, we have some, you know, players who are relatively new to DFS. So it's cool. We really have a wide variety. And I try, for the most part, to have the first Chambers where most of that heavyweights are going to be in. So that one's usually going to have a tougher to cash and have a higher cash line. I try to get the people who are a little more inexperienced in the second and third Chambers of the night, and don't get me wrong, man, those Chambers are still really, really tough to cash too, because there's always experienced players in those as well. So if you cash in Chambers, you had a good night. So Chambers 4, Monday. The judge, I thought I was in the running again to take them all down, but it did not happen because the Houston game did not go to my liking, even though Harden still got there for me. Ryan Anderson crushed me in that game, and the pace of that game was just too slow overall. So the judge took third in two chambers. That was not good enough, though. The top scorer of the night was by a guy who he even gave me his nickname on Twitter. You can send me, you can tell me what your nickname is, too. That's cool, too. So his nickname is Big E. The username is JackinCM, J-A-C-I-N-C-M. He put up a 362 monster score. That's a phenomenal score for the Monday night slate. So congrats to him. I think he faded all the superstars, and as we'll get to in a minute or two, they all were basically bums and busters and dream killers on Monday night. I mean, you didn't have to play any of the stars. I mean, the only person you had to play was Jimmy Buckets. He was a must with an 80 FanDuel point night. Also, Toot All Jamal, Toot All Jamal, also won chambers with a 350 score. I should also mention this. All three winners were first-time winners, so that's pretty cool to see. And Vinsanity07, it's a sixth cash of the year, so I've seen him in chambers a lot this year, but it's his first win with a 339. So congrats to all three of you. Very well done. The judge salutes you. You defeated the judge. I'm not happy about that, but I'm glad you guys had good nights. Dream killers. Every superstar in the free world on Monday night had an off night. It was weird, man, because you had every star in play besides Boogie Cousins. I mean, you had Westbrook, Harden, Anthony Davis, LeBron, Giannis, and it was just – Giannis did the closest to hitting value, and then probably LeBron – And then AD, and then Harden, and then Westbrook. I mean, Westbrook and Harden ended up with about 50. And at their salaries, that's, you know, on most nights, that's not enough. But because every superstar struggled for the most part, you could still cash. I saw many people still cash with a Westbrook. And I mean, I cashed in almost all of my tournaments with Harden. I had Harden almost everywhere. So it was definitely chilled. And I had LeBron almost everywhere. So it was still doable. But you know, you basically had to have Jimmy Butler and some other really good plays as well. If you tried to get cute and play McRae at shooting guard, I did in a few lineups. You know, he's playing for J.R. Smith right now. He put up a nice 10 FanDuel point night for us. So he was there was a lot of nice talent, nice value at shooting guard. McRae was the one guy who just was an absolute bomb. Just so frustrating. I mean, the Charlotte, first of all, I think we have to end. This may be the last episode I can even mention the Charlotte Batums, because they are back to being the Charlotte Kembas. That's right. Kemba Walker is back, my friends. I don't think they're Batum's team anymore. But speaking of Charlotte, how can you have like three players for Charlotte be dream killers? But it happened. In a game that ended up being actually pretty fast paced, MKG sucked. I mean, he's basically Otto Porter. He's the man without a usage rate. He was horrendous. Frank the Tank Kaminsky was almost worse at 4.1K without Zeller. I mean, it was embarrassing. Like Spencer Hawes played better than Frank Kaminsky and Marvin Williams. Marvin Williams had like 11 FanDuel points. How can none of those three guys? You would think one of those guys would get some rebounds, some easy buckets, do something. But no, all three were absolutely atrocious. Super frustrating. And I played a ton of Frank Kaminsky. And I mean, dear God, he's burned me now so many times this year. I mean, I wonder if it's subconsciously I play him because he went to the University of Wisconsin, and that's where the judge went for school as well. But I mean, I thought at 4.1K, I thought for sure he's going to get me 20, 25 tonight. It just didn't happen. Derek Favors, I don't know what the hell happened to him. He didn't start the second half. He only played like 9 minutes, had a fantastic matchup on Monday, and it's just he ended up being an absolute dream killer. Maybe a soul crusher if you played him. Luckily, I didn't have too much of him. Ryan Anderson, I had almost everywhere in almost all my tournaments. I was so excited for this Houston game against Washington with the 230 over-under, and I did not play anyone in the Golden State-Denver game for the most part, which had like a 232 over-under because I thought Golden State would blow Denver out. That did not pan out as the judge expected, and now Vegas told me it was going to happen. That game stayed super close. Meanwhile, Washington-Houston was two turtles, but basically playing each other. And Ryan Anderson had just a dreadful game. I think at one point Houston, I mean, I know they had the lowest points in the first half all year. I mean, they couldn't make a single shot. Obviously Ryan Anderson, all he does is shoot threes. I mean, I'm pretty sure he thinks anything inside the three point line is quicksand. Because if you watch him play, it's pretty funny to watch him play, quite honestly, because he will get the ball, he'll take one dribble maybe to like inside the 3-point line, then he gets like nervous, quick goes back outside the 3-point line and tries to like jack up a quick three. And you don't have to be the smartest defender in the world to know that's what he's going to do. And this is why I've always been perplexed with watching teams play Houston. And Washington started to do this a little bit on Monday night. Like, why don't you just defend the 3-point line? I mean, none of those guys, Eric Gordon, Ariza, Ryan Anderson, none of them really want to drive to the basket at all. They all are just looking for 3-point baskets. So finally, Washington started to do that. It was somewhat effective. I mean, ultimately, Houston, you know, had a nice run in the fourth quarter and ended up winning the game. But I thought Washington was playing the proper defense that other teams, you know, are not playing against Houston this year. But anyway, Ryan Anderson, yeah, just didn't work out with him. But that's why I say he's always a kind of a tournament play, because if he misses shots, it's going to be a bad night. Tristan Thompson, I mean, if you tried to play him, you were not happy. He's become like a dead man walking certain nights where he gives you like a 10 Fanduel point night, just an embarrassing night for him. John Wall, I have him as a dream killer because I thought for sure in that high-paced game where John Wall has been like the Mr. Consistency hitting value every night of the week, he only had like 40, I think around 40 Fanduel points. I thought for sure the floor was got to be about 50. He had a good first half. The second half, he just didn't play that well. And again, the overall pace of that game was just not what I expected. And a lot of that was all on Harden. I mean, Harden was going so slow. And I know it was their third game in four nights, but it was at home. They've had some blowouts. And yeah, so I mean, it was just weird to see Harden. I mean, I saw Houston get two or three shot clock violations. I mean, I don't remember them like ever seeing them get one all year before tonight. So it was really weird. Doug McDermott, dream killer. Once the news came out around 6:30 Eastern, half hour before lineup lock, that Wade was out. I played a lot of Butler, but that worked out. I also played a lot of Doug McDermott, who got the start. That did not go as planned. You still could have cashed with him, but he only gave me like I think 10 or 12 Fanduel points. It's disappointing for him. Enes Kanter. Wow, he put up a dud. I think he had like 9 Fanduel points. And Devin Booker for Phoenix, I think he had like 19 Fanduel points. TJ Warren was the guy to play, not Booker on this night. Phoenix, man, they're a tough team to figure out on certain nights. Dream Lovers, let me take a sip of my smoothie. Delicious. And I did get my straw tonight. But I'm not going to mention, I'm not going to lie, I'm starting to feel a little bit under the weather again. Doing these late podcasts cannot help me. And it was raining like all day. The weather was horrible in New York. I don't know where you guys live. Hopefully you guys, the weather was a little bit better than it was here. And it's going to rain all day on Tuesday as well, which sucks. But that's also why there's so much injury news. With something, a cold or whatever the thing Kawhi Leonard had. And I think Kevin Love had, I think, food poisoning. But there's some type of bug running through the NBA. So there's a lot of guys dealing with quote-unquote illnesses that are making them questionable for Tuesday already. Dream Lovers, though, I told you, I think we have to rest in peace to Charlotte Batum, because Kemba Walker was a Dream Lover tonight. And I had a lot of Kemba, and the second they ruled Patrick Beverley out, the judge pivoted. I went almost all in on John Wall. And, I mean, Wall did okay, but I think he was a Dream Lover. I mean, a Dream Killer, because you could have pivoted to Kemba and you could have saved over $2,000. And Kemba had almost 60 Fanduel points, and he was terrific. So if you played Kemba, congrats. Jimmy Buckets, he was the must guy. 80 Fanduel points for him in what should have been a slow-paced game. The pace ended up being higher than expected. The second Wade went out, I basically went almost all in on Jimmy Buckets. So that definitely paid off. Hopefully you guys played some Jimmy Buckets as well. I didn't see too many lineups that were able to win without him in there. If you miss an 80 Fanduel point night, that's tough to recover from him. He was just phenomenal without Wade. Gallinari, because there Denver had a lot of guys who played well because that Denver Golden State game stayed close. Gallinari had a close to 40 Fando points. Joakim Noah had got 30 Fando points. Fat Raymond Felton, Waffle House Felton, he may have been the top value point guard of the night. Brogdon didn't do that well. MCW played pretty well. Felton ended up with 30 Fando points. I think the news came out that he was starting after lineup lock. So if you play, I mean, I just couldn't pull the trigger on that fatty. I was tempted to, but I just didn't do it. So I think a couple people in Chambers did it. So congrats to you guys if you played Felton, because he went off for like 30. Montrezl Harrell for Houston, he just fits so well in that system. He had 28 Fando points, and he would have had 40 if the pace was at, you know, was as it should have been, with a 230 over under. He's not really skilled offensively as a basketball player. He's just super athletic, and he can run up and down the court. And Harden looks for him. You know, when Harden penetrates, a lot of times the defense comes over to Harden, and Harrell gets he's like a poor man's version of DeAndre Jordan. He gets like 2, 3, 4 alley oops a night. Eric Bledsoe did well for Phoenix. Gary Harris, my boy Gary Harris, and Will Barton, quite honestly, for Denver, both did well. Trevor Ariza was fantastic for Houston. I'm going to start to play him more in the future, because one thing I love about D'Antoni is gives Harden, Ariza, Eric Gordon, even Ryan Anderson to a certain extent. I mean, and Beverly when he's healthy, just monster minutes. And Ariza, like he's not really a one-trick pony, because he gets like 3-4 steals a night. He'll get some rebounds and some assists. So I think, and as long as that price stays under 6K, I'm going to start looking to play him some more in cash, especially when Houston can play in really fast-paced games. So Ariza had over like 35 Fando points. Eric Gordon, every day on the show, I tell you, man, Eric Gordon is one of the most underrated, consistent players in fantasy. It's been over 2 months since he's been under 20 Fando points, and he had over 35 or so again on Monday night. So he was tremendous. He was Houston's best player, quite honestly, on Monday. And he kept them in the game when Washington should have blown them out. Bradley Beal was pretty good. He was under 5% owned. So if you played him, I think it was a smart play if you played him. I don't know if it would have ultimately paid off, because he was, you know, I think he barely hit value, but I like the ownership on him on Monday. Jamal Crawford, you know, it's hard to predict when he's going to go off. He had one of his games where he played really well. Jokic for Denver, he did really well again against Golden State. Yeah, I think he had in the mid-30s, almost 40. And Steven Adams had 40 Fando points. And TJ Warren, as I mentioned before, had a really good night for Phoenix. So lots of dream lovers. Man. Oh, I forgot to mention Elfrid Payton. Man, dear God, it's so hard to figure out Elfrid Payton. Like, he's such a GPP-only player. God. I mean, I didn't have any exposure to him. And he was coming off that horrendous game. And I think I mentioned on the pod yesterday, you should throw him in one lineup just because of recency bias. The judge, I object to the judge not taking the judge's own advice. What am I thinking? But yeah, some days it's hard to get everyone in there. Especially as you guys know, when things happen in that last hour that are wacky. I mean, today certain things happen. Like, we found out Wade was going to be out. And then, you know, all of a sudden you're trying to fit in Butler, and you're doing things in your lineup that all day long you weren't considering. So, You gotta do the best you can when that late news breaks. All right. Injury news for Tuesday. Let me just open up this window. All right. Sergio Rodriguez looks like he's still going to be doubtful for with an ankle sprain. TJ McConnell still going to be a nice value play. For Boston, Tyler Zeller, James Young, questionable with an illness. Tyler has an illness. Young has an ankle. Dante Exum, questionable with a knee. Avery Bradley, Marcus Smart, both questionable with this illness. So that would open up some interesting things. Maybe a Jaylen Brown finally could get some serious minutes for Boston. Maybe Jay Crowder gets some more shots. George Hill's doubtful with a concussion still. So Mac Daddy, I don't think I even mentioned Shelvin Mack. I think Shelvin Mack was a dream lover as well on Monday. Jeff Teague is dealing with an ankle sprain. So he's questionable. That will be an interesting move. I mean, don't tell me where Aaron Brooks is going to be in play. Ugh, that's going to be nasty. Ronnie Stuckey's going to be out with a hamstring. Darren Williams is dealing with also this the mystery illness that that seems to be going around the entire NBA. Deion Waiters finally might play. He's questionable. He's been out forever for Miami. I do not want him to play because I want to play my boy Josh Richardson again. If he plays, dear God, he's going to get like 20, 30, 40, 50 shots, Deion Waiters. So if he plays, I will be playing Deion Waiters. He probably can't wait to get back there for that Miami team with everyone banged up. Winslow, Whiteside are both out for Miami, and Dragic is questionable. So I think, you know, with Miami, James Johnson, he might be a lock and load for me tomorrow or on Tuesday. And also Josh Richardson is an excellent play, and Tyler Johnson as well, for that matter. And if you want to play Showtime Willie Reed at center, he'll probably burn you, but yeah, but you can do it. And Rudy Gay is dealing with a hip, so he's questionable. And Ty Lawson is dealing with a sinus fracture. He's questionable. Man, lots of injury news for only, I guess it's an 8-game slate. So, all right. All right. Let's go to Vegas. Let's take a flight to Vegas. All right. Nice scenery here. Which hotel should we go to? Let's go to Bellagio. No, let's go to the Hard Rock instead. That used to be my favorite when I used to go to Vegas a lot. All right. So, because of all the injury news I just read, we're waiting on 4 over-unders. But there's a lot of teams. It's basically teams that are play fast and pace versus teams that play slow and pace. Yeah, you got Indiana, who's fast, versus Detroit, or at Detroit, who plays slow. Washington plays fast, at Dallas, who plays super slow. Miami, typically slow, even though they have Dragic. I don't understand it. At Phoenix, who plays second fastest in the league. No overrunners on any of those games. You have Memphis, plays super slow, versus the Lakers, who play at a pretty quick pace game. Now, the thing is, now there's no overrunner on any of those games. And you hear me talk about all the time, I like to target the teams that play up in pace. And occasionally I will get a question, why, Judge? I mean, why do you target teams that play up in pace? If that doesn't make sense to me. And what I say is this. So it's basically all about salary, right? If your team is a slow-paced team, your salary is going to reflect that. So suddenly, if you're playing a team up in pace and you're going to have a higher over-under than that team normally would have, that team – and that player is going to have more possessions, more chances for shots, more chances for rebounds, assists, steals, also turnovers, I guess. But therefore, he's going to have a greater opportunity for fantasy goodness, more possessions. So that's why I like to target the teams that are playing up in pace, because their salary does not reflect that extra fantasy goodness that they should get on that slate. Now, it is after 3:15 in the morning, so hopefully that made sense. I mean, I'm sure if I give a presentation on that, after a nice night of sleep, I probably could do it better. So right now, the highest over-under on the board is Toronto-San Antonio, which with a 211 over-under, I think that would be a fun game to watch. I mean, and I guess we're going to have to target it, but man, that being the top game of the night is, at least right now, is not that great. And then you got a couple of nasty games. Utah at Boston with a 201 over-under. Sacramento, Denver, 203, and Minnesota, Philly at 203.5. So, I mean, quite honestly, there's not a game, not a game here that I'm going to just X off my sheet, because especially when I mentioned those Boston, those injuries, there's guys on almost every team that I think are useful on Tuesday, even with the low over-unders. And plus, it's not like Monday night either, where you have a Houston, Washington, and Golden State, Denver game, where you have a game with a 230 over under as well. All right, so teams playing up in pace that the judge wants to target: Miami versus Phoenix, they're playing way up in pace. Memphis versus the Lakers, I will target them. Sacramento versus Denver, I'm going to target. Detroit versus Indiana, I'm going to target. And those are the four that who have biggest projected jumps in pace. So those are the four teams I will target the most if I just kind of want to use pace as a tiebreaker. Defensive versus position, anything stick out to me that you guys probably shouldn't know by now? You guys know Denver guards suck. You guys know Phoenix stinks every position, but especially the guards. Lakers stink at every position. Philadelphia, for some reason, they're really bad against small forwards. So Andrew Wiggins is in a really good spot here, and also Philly really struggles against centers. And Embiid, while he's good offensively, he is not ready to handle top-notch centers. So Karl-Anthony Towns versus Embiid on Tuesday, Towns should be able to destroy him. And Washington cannot defend power forwards. Unfortunately, they're playing Dallas. Dallas does not really have a power forward, but Dirk, I don't even know. Is Dirk alive? I mean, how many games has Dirk played this year? Like three? No idea. All right, let's move on to the top plays at each position, my friends. Point guard. Man, my nose is really is stuff. This, I do not want to get a cold again. Ah, thank God for the straw and the smoothie. I got to tell you, man, I almost had nightmares without that. Without having a straw and a smoothie. I know I got a bunch of tweets about that. I'm telling you, I want each of you to try it. At least like one time this week. You can do it with like a protein shake. Well, I guess no protein shake. You don't need a straw. But man, a smoothie without a straw, it is an adventure. I guess, I mean, I got a lot of people saying I should have used a spoon. I guess that's an option as well. But a spoon like during the podcast would have been tough to do. I don't want to be scooping out parts of it on my smoothie as I'm doing the podcast. All right, point guard, John Wall, 9.6K. So Wall went from one of the best matchups on Monday night to one of the worst. Because he's playing Dallas on Tuesday on a back-to-back, and Dallas is number one in the NBA versus defense versus position. They give up the fewest FanDuel points to opposing point guards. I mean, Wall's been super safe. One of his worst games of the year, or not the year, but that I can remember, was on Monday. He only had 41 FanDuel points against Houston. It was super bizarre. So right now, because it is against Dallas, I don't think I'm going to be using him in cash games. There's other guys that I think are have better matchups. But tournaments, I will absolutely use Wall. I do think that the over-under could be a little bit better than expected. But Washington playing so down in pace, I think for cash, I'm going to probably look in a different direction. Isaiah Thomas, 8.1K. So Utah is coming to Boston. Now, I mentioned Wall playing Dallas. Dallas is number one, gives up the fewest FanDuel points to point guards. Utah gives up the second fewest points to point guards. So Isaiah Thomas is not in an elite spot as well. Now, Isaiah played – where is it? He played Memphis about a week ago, and he put up – oh, no. Yeah. I played Memphis twice in the last, like, 2 weeks. They're similar to those teams. They're similar to a Dallas or Utah, and he put up, like, 62 FanDuel points. So Isaiah – he still could go off, especially if those other Boston guards are going to be out, with, you know, like Bradley with an illness. I mean, Isaiah already has Wall is a 35% usage or true usage, and Isaiah Thomas is a 34.8% usage. So that's why both of these guys are both always going to be in play for me on slates. I love my pace and I love my usage. So Isaiah, I mean, he's 1.5K cheaper than John Wall. So I think – for cash, would I prefer Isaiah? I mean, the thing is, I'm quite honestly, I am probably not going to play either of these two in cash just because of those matchups, and Boston is playing way down in pace as well. I will use Isaiah absolutely in tournaments, but I'm just not going to do it in cash. I'm not going to tempt the fates of Utah. Kyle Lowry at San Antonio. I don't understand. Like, Lowry's price came down. Yeah, I could have swore it was like approaching 9K. It was at least 8.6K last time, 2 days ago when I played him. And then he had 58 FanDuel points against the Lakers. And now his price is down to 8K versus Spurs. You can attack the Spurs guards. This right now is the highest over-under on the board. I'm sure there'll end up being games that have a little bit higher once they're posted. But I think he's in a good spot here. I think he's fine. I prefer him to in cash to Isaiah and John Wall, quite honestly, for Tuesday's slate. So yeah, I mean he's fine for all formats, and he is so locked in right now. He's playing just fantastic ball. I wish the usage rate was higher, because even on this slate, there's eight point guards that have higher usage rates than Kyle Lowry. I wish it was higher than that 27.11%. The problem is that he has DeMar DeRozan, who is, quite honestly, let's just call it what it is. He's a ball hog who takes bad shots. And DeMar DeRozan is not – he started the year off so hot, and lately he has not been – he's still playing well, but nowhere near as good as he was earlier in the year. I mean, earlier in the year, taking all those shots, it was somewhat justified. And now I think he needs to let Lowry do his thing and give Lowry some more shots. Or at least you'd think if they had a coach, a walking, breathing coach who could then play some Valanciunas as well. That would be helpful for Toronto. But so Lowry, I like him in all formats. Eric Bledsoe, never a cash game play for me. You know he's with me at Magic Mountain on a roller coaster because he, you know, if you play him, he's going to occasionally give you a night in the teens or in the 20s and kill your whole lineup. But versus Miami, and also Miami has really good defensive guards. You know, even if Dragic doesn't play, I mean, Tyler Johnson and Josh Richardson are really good defenders. So not an ideal spot here. And Phoenix playing way down in pace. Not an ideal spot here. A tournament only play for me on Tuesday. I think the price is fair though. 7.9K is fair. He can give you, you know, like on Monday, you know, he got, I think, over 40 fandom points. He can give you a 40, 50 fandom point night. Mike Conley, 7K. Man, I have not used a lot of Conley this year. It's been tough. He's been in and out of the lineup. It just seems like he's like game time decision, or he's questionable or probable, you know, every day. It's so frustrating. But he is going to get the Lakers defense here. When he plays, he has a 29% usage. And Lakers give up the fifth or sixth most points to opposing point guards. And I saw Kyle Lowry torch them a couple nights ago. Lowry had only played 29 minutes against Sacramento and had 36 Fanduel points. So I think it's 7K. And I think also Marc Gasol, I don't know if I mentioned the injury report, is dealing with an ankle injury. If for any reason Marc Gasol is out, man, then I would love to play me some Lowry against the Lakers. Even if Gasol plays, though, I think Lowry's fine. I think he's relatively safe. I think the floor for Tuesday is going to be about 25, 30 Fanduel points, ceiling of like 45. So he's in play for me. It's just, it's hard to get super excited to play him. And but Memphis is playing up in pace. That is something I want to target, and the Lakers defense. So it's a tasty matchup for Conley, and I'm going to find a way to play him on Tuesday. Reggie Jackson. Man, I love me Reggie Jackson for Tuesday. Like Indiana cannot defend the guard position anyway. They are give up the sixth most Fanduel points to point guards, and I'm not even sure if Teague's going to play. If Teague doesn't play, I mean, I guess Reggie would get some. Well, what happened to my Fanduel screen? Just froze. Some Aaron Brooks defense. Aaron Brooks is one of the worst defenders that was ever created. He's so bad. So while he can do things offensively and make some shots, he's a train wreck defensively. I mean, he will just say ole and let Reggie Jackson just, you know, trot right down for layups. You know, I love Reggie. You know, I love Reggie Jackson's usage rate, which is third highest on the slate for point guards at 31%. He's coming off. He's still priced too low. He should be priced 7K in the next couple weeks, probably. He's coming off a nice game where he had 30. Last two games, he had 35 Fanduel points, basically, last two games. I wish he would pass the ball to make his teammates a little happier. But, you know, for DFS purposes, whatever, we don't have to worry about that. I think Reggie Jackson is an elite play on Tuesday. You can use him in all formats. Man, I'm almost have to say lock and load for cash, but there's just so many other, there's some other value guys I also like, but right now I do have him in for cash. Man, I just really like that play. And I think he's a safe floor and a nice upside. D'Angelo Russell is 6K. I like the usage rate. I like the upside. I don't like the matchup here. So he's coming off a 42 Fanduel point night. You know, we've seen occasionally point guards will torch Memphis. We saw Isaiah Thomas do it, as I mentioned before, but I'm not going to count on it. If I play 10 lineups, maybe I'd have D'Angelo Russell in two of them. Ricky Rubio, 5.9K, coming off an absolute disaster of 14 Fanduel points versus Portland, who doesn't even have a point guard right now. So he basically got benched that game. Before that, he was somewhat consistent. That game is enough to worry me a little bit that I wouldn't want to play him in cash. He has a fine matchup here. I mean, I guess he's going to get some TJ McConnell defense. That's not as bad as Aaron Brooks defense, but that's pretty bad. I mean, TJ McConnell, if you talk about people who are unathletic while you're on the court, I mean, that guy, if he did a 40-yard dash, it would take him a couple days to finish that. So Rubio's in a good matchup. The problem is he's got to rely on things like assists and steals. So other people to make shots. I mean, Minnesota doesn't even need Rubio on that team, quite honestly. I mean, they have LaVine, who can handle the ball. Wiggins gets his own shot for him. And Towns does his thing in the post. So I'm not a big fan of Rubio in this matchup. I think the price is fair. It's about the best the best thing I can say. Tyler Johnson, 5.9K in a dream scenario. We just got to hope Dragic is out, and we got to hope that Deion Waiters is out. Because, man, do I want to attack. I want to use Miami playing way up in pace and attack the hell out of a Phoenix who is coming on a back-to-back. Tyler Johnson was dreadful, if you ask me, the last game, and he had 25 Fando points. That's like his floor. So even if – and he played 29 minutes. So to me, that's his floor. And that was against Detroit, super slow-paced game. He could easily give me a 40-50 Fando point night. I have no issues using – if as long as Dragic and Deion are out, I have no problems using Reggie Jackson and Tyler Johnson as my two cash game point guards. I know it sounds just on the surface a little weird when you got Wall, Isaiah Thomas, and Lowry playing, but I think it makes perfect sense for me on Tuesday. I mean, take advantage of the salaries. Moutier, 5K. He was one of the only Denver guys that did not take advantage of the matchup against Golden State. 17 Fando points. You know, he has a floor of 10 and a ceiling of 30, 35. Playing way down in pace against Sacramento, I just don't want to play too much of him on Tuesday or ever. TJ McConnell. Wow, what is his price? Man, what the hell is this? His price is 4.6K. That's sickening, nauseating. Man, that's – when he started, he's been good. So last game he started 36 minutes against Denver. Denver guards are atrocious, though, and 29 Fando points. Now he gets Minnesota and Ricky Rubio. His defense has been kind of down this year. Man, that I wish he was 4K, not 4.6K. I still think he's fine at that price. I mean, he can give you a 30. I think he had a 40 Fando point night this year. The usage rate is he's basically in Ricky Rubio territory in usage rate. Yeah, it's a little higher. It's 19.2%, whereas Rubio's 17%. So, you know, he's not going to score a ton, but it's safe. It's fine. It's fine for cash. And if you want to do it in the tournament, I mean, just to get some open up some salary for the rest of your lineup. I mean, I can understand why you'd do it. Tony Parker, 4.5K. Why not? I mean, the last two games, he's starting to play better. 34 and 28 the last two games. He's basically the same price as TJ McConnell. So if you want to just, you know, and McConnell's going to be much, much higher owned. So you want to just pivot off of McConnell and in a single entry or in a tournament and play some Parker, you can do it. Jordan Clarkson, 4.3K. It's dirt cheap. But coming off a 3 Fando point night in 17 minutes. Yeah. And Memphis, no thank you. Shelvin Mack, he had 25 Fando points versus Brooklyn. He's fine. I mean, you can do – I would prefer – he's 4.2K. I'd prefer TJ McConnell to him. I think I'd actually prefer Tony Parker to him on Tuesday. But Mack's fine. He's okay. And I guess I got to mention Darren Collison because I think Ty Lawson is questionable. If Ty Lawson is not going to play, Collison got 39 minutes last game against Memphis and had 24 Fando points. Now, Collison's been awful this year, but if you tell me Lawson's out, they really have no other backup point guard. I could see Collison getting close to 40 minutes again. And if he gets 40 minutes at 4.1K against Denver, I mean, they give up, I think, the second most Fando points to point guards. So, I mean, Collison suddenly becomes a super sneaky ninja and a guy that I'll be looking to play in a lot of lineups, dirt cheap. And, he doesn't need to do much to hit value. I mean, and against Denver, he can give me a 30 Fando point night easily. So there's a lot of interesting, nice value plays at point guard. Shooting guard. Ultimate one-trick pony, DeMar usage rate DeRozan. The price has finally crept under 8K. The first time I can remember it being under 8K. That is a fantastic sign because he's so scoring dependent that we need him basically to give you 30 actual points so you can get close to hitting value. Right now, it's a you can attack San Antonio guard, so I think Lowry and DeMar are both fine plays. I think there's other guys, they're similar to point guard, that I prefer better, but I will do the judges special. I will have a lineup sacking this game, and I will have a lineup with a Lowry DeMar play, which a lot of people don't like to do because it's hard for both of them to go off in the same night. I like him in this matchup. I just like other guys probably more, but he's safe. You can use him. He's safe for all formats. Bradley Beal, 6.8K. A back-to-back versus Dallas. As I mentioned, Washington playing way down in pace. He was good on Monday. Had like 34, 35 FanDuel points. There's probably other guys I prefer, and he's going to get some Wes Matthews defense. Wes Matthews is a bully on the defensive end. So I don't love Beal. Tournament's only for me. Avery Bradley, I'm not sure if he's going to play, and if he does, he gets Utah, so probably not. Zach LaVine, you know, LaVine and Wiggins are the same for me. I'm going to play LaVine. I'm going to play Wiggins, especially Wiggins because Philly cannot handle small forwards. But it's hard to play them in cash. I think on small slates, I think they make more sense because they are locked into so many minutes. But Zach LaVine, some nights he does so little with all those minutes, even though he plays 35 plus minutes. Like, he got 18 FanDuel points last game. He's got to give you over 30 to feel good about it. 32, really 32, 33. And the last five games, he hasn't done that. And really only he had a 50 burger. But other than that, he's really struggles to do that. So I think he's priced a little bit too high because he had that one monster game. And there's certainly better value that you can play on Tuesday. Devin Booker, 6K. He sucked on Monday night, 18 FanDuel points. And still played 33 minutes. So that makes me want to play him. I love when guys struggle one night. I want to play them the next night. He's young. The back-to-back shouldn't bother him too much. Phoenix is playing down in pace. So it's going to be a tournament-only play for me. But I will have some exposure to Booker on Tuesday. Josh Richardson, please, Deion Waiters, do not play. Because Richardson is balling right now. He has supreme confidence on the court. He's locked into monster minutes. 38, 35, 33, 37 minutes, the last four, 29, 47, 31, 35 FanDuel points. This guy was virtually unplayable 2 weeks ago on the show. He was bringing me to tears. Now he's leading us to glory. It is beautiful. I told you he would be in GPP winning lineups, and he has been the last week against Phoenix, playing way up in pace. Now, I'm not going to lie. I saw his price a little bit, and I had to do a double take because he's approaching 6K, 5.9K. That's not cheap. But, man, playing way up in pace here. As long as Waiters is out and Dragic, Jay Rich will probably be a cash game lock for me, and I will have a lot of exposure in tournaments too. KCP is just a nice pivot in tournaments if you want to pivot off of Josh Richardson. If you did it on like two nights ago, KCP outperformed Jay Rich. He had 39 FanDuel points, and I think Josh had closer to 30. So KCP is fine. Detroit's playing up in pace against Indiana. What is it? Where's Indiana defensive first position against shooting guard? Where is it? Let me look at that 1 second. Can't be very good. Now they allow like the 9th or 10th most FanDuel points to shooting guards. So I think KCP's in a good spot. The interesting thing that I noticed when I watched that entire Detroit, their last game, the second Reggie Jackson went out of the game, KCP took over like ball handling duties. Well, it was him and Ish Smith, but KCP, he took like 10 straight shots. So that worries me a little because he definitely, his usage has taken a hit with Reggie Jackson. But it seems like the second that he goes out, that Reggie Jackson goes out, that offense opens up for guys like Tobias Harris, who's coming off the bench. And KCP. I mean, KCP, the usage rate right now is not ideal. And that's, again, probably why I still prefer Josh Richardson with those Miami guys out. KCP is – where is he, man? It's about 20%. So not ideal. But he's okay. Wesley Matthews, 5.6K. I think if you want to roll him out in cash games, you can do it. I like playing him when he's a little older, coming off some injuries, when he's got some rest. He's similar to Eric Gordon in a lot of ways, except not as – the upside is not the same as Eric Gordon. And he's not as quick as Eric Gordon. But he's a better defender. It doesn't get you fantasy points, though. But look at his game logs. It's 24, 30, 23, 22, 34, 30, 17, 19, 20. A couple of those 20s were against teams that played really slow in pace, though. So I think he's in a good spot here. I prefer him over KCP. I prefer, if I had to rank, like, you know, the Booker, Josh Richardson, KCP, Wes Matthews, because they're all around the same price, I would probably go J. Rich 1, Wesley Matthews 2, KCP 3, and Booker 4 in cash games. Will Barton's 5.2K. He continues to outperform my boy Gary Harris. They're priced somewhat similar. Will Barton's a little more expensive. He's still, he's somewhat of a roller coaster. I don't feel safe ever playing him in cash games. But if you want to roll him out, Denver's on a back to back. Mike Malone does weird things with minutes on back to backs. Denver is playing way down in pace, though. I'm not a huge fan of Barton on this night. Although Sacramento is still struggling to defend the shooting guard position. So, in theory, Will Barton and Gary Harris are both good plays on Tuesday. Or maybe not good. I would say they're okay plays. Then you got the two Lakers, the two Laker guards, Lou Williams and Nick Young. Nick Young would be the guy I'd look to more. You know, you could play – honestly, Nick Young is fine for cash and tournaments. Because he does have the upside. I mean, last game, he's a one-trick pony, so you need him because his actual scoring will be pretty close to his actual FanDuel point production. But last game, he had like 7 threes or something like that, or 8 threes, and had 26 actual points and 30 FanDuel points. Do I see that again happening against Memphis? No, probably not. But if he's going to get 30 minutes, you want to play him, you can. And Lou Williams, more of a tournament guy only, because he'll get more minutes if he gets hot. But I don't really want to play these guys against Memphis on Tuesday. Rodney Hood, he let me down a little bit. I thought on Monday against Brooklyn, he'd have a better night. He only had 20 FanDuel points in 28 minutes. That's a little disappointing. He's not doing anything on the, like filling up the stat sheet on the getting any peripheral stats. No rebounds, no assists, no steals, no blocks. I don't think he's still recovered from whatever quote unquote illness he has. But if you want someone who's like less than 5% owned, I mean Boston's, if Avery Bradley is out, he's gonna get some guys, and Marcus Smart, I think he might not play either. If those guys are out, he could get some pretty easy defense, and you never know. So a tournament is a sneaky play. Tony Allen gets the Lakers. So you can do that if you want. And Wayne Ellington, I'll mention just because he went off for Miami last game. If Dragic and Waiters are out, Ellington's a cheap guy you can throw in there. He played 37 minutes, 27 FanDuel points. So that's something that I could sign up for on Tuesday, and playing way up in pace. And lastly, I'm going to mention my boy Danny Green, because quietly he's had 3 straight games of over 20 FanDuel points, and he's 3.8K. So there's someone dirt cheap. If he gives you 20 FanDuel points, that's what's that, 6 times value, or at least it's over 5. Yeah, I think it's 6. I can't do math this late. But it's all you need, and he opens up salary. And no one wants to play Danny Green because Danny Green's killed everyone. And there's a lot on this. Man, there's so much value at both positions. And I'll mention Nick Stauskas too, because he's the backup point guard for TJ McConnell. I think Gerald Henderson's going to play, so you probably don't want to play Stauskas. But yeah, I mentioned him. I don't know why. I feel weird that I mentioned Stauskas. I'm not going to lie. Oh, man. I better not be getting cold. Getting very nervous over this, guys. All right, Kawhi Leonard, small forwards. 8.3K. It's not good. My computer screen went dark on me. All right, there it is. It's back up. Make sure Google Hangouts is still recording. It is. All right, we're good. So Kawhi Leonard, the judge loves when a really good player is coming off a bad game because of recency bias. No one wants to play him. Kawhi had 24 FanDuel points in the last game against Atlanta. Was a soul crusher for me. Now he gets a really juicy matchup here against Toronto, which should be a really competitive game. I think Kawhi is safe for all formats. I expect a bounce back game. I expect 40 FanDuel points on Tuesday from him. Gordon Hayward, 8K. Like I know, like going into Monday, he was like a very popular play. but people just kind of forgot about him once the Jimmy Butler news hit. I don't even know his ownership, because I faded him completely. And the thing is, he still played well. He had over 43 Fanduel. He had over 43 Fanduel points, 30 actual points against Brooklyn. So, you know, I think I prefer Kawhi to Gordon Hayward, but he's fine. He's pretty safe. And if Favors is not playing, and they're still missing George Hill, I mean, when George Hill is out, Gordon Hayward gets a massive uptake in usage. So I think he's still a fine play on Tuesday. So I mean, you have Kawhi, Gordon Hayward, and Paul George, all very similar, close to that 8K salary range. Man, so Paul George is 7.8K. Where is Detroit in defensive versus position? Yeah, so the Detroit gives up the fourth fewest fandom points to small forwards. So I guess if I had to rank them, I'd probably go, man, that's hard though, because Gordon's on a back-to-back. Yeah, I still would probably go for cash, at least Kawhi, Gordon Hayward, and then Paul George in cash games. Tournaments, I would like Paul George a lot more, but for cash games with Indiana playing way down in pace, I don't know if I want to play Paul George. But for tournaments, I do. See, he's been better. I mean, he didn't play. Indiana blew out Orlando, so he didn't play the fourth quarter last game. So he had 29 Fanduel points in three quarters, and the two games before that, 38 and 46. And Jeff Teague is out. I should have led with that. If Teague is out, then I think Paul George is safe for all formats. It's not a Jimmy Butler situation. It's not like Wade going out where all of a sudden Paul George is not going to give you 80 Fanduel points, but if Teague is out, I Paul George, he's got to give you 40 Fanduel points, right? So if Teague is out, like, I'll have no issues using Paul George in all formats. Andrew Wiggins, I mentioned that Philly cannot defend the small forward position, which I don't understand, because Covington has all the tools to be a really, really good defender. Wiggins, he's a little more consistent than Zach LaVine, probably why his price is a little bit more expensive. It's also interesting, if you look at all the advanced analytics, they hate Andrew Wiggins. They say he's Minnesota is much better defensively when he's off the court. If you look at his value above a replacement player, it's pretty pathetic. The advanced analytics do not like the one-trick pony that is Andrew Wiggins. But in terms of DFS, 29, 47, 37, 31, 33 the last five, six games or so, you know he's going to get 35-plus minutes. I like the matchup versus Philly here. He's about $1,000 cheaper than Paul George, Gordon Hayward, Kawhi. And I don't like using him in cash, but I think for single-entry tournaments and for GPPs, he's in an elite spot on Tuesday. Harrison Barnes, he's fine. I just prefer Wiggins to him. So maybe if I have 10 lineups, I'd play Wiggins in like 7 and Barnes in 3. Gallinari, I'm a little worried about his body holding up in a back-to-back. And also they're coming off – they played really hard against Golden State. And now they get playing a slowdown team against Sacramento. So he's still fine. But I think I would have probably maybe prefer Wilson Chandler a little bit, because I don't trust Gallo's body on back-to-backs right now. Otto Porter, the man without a usage rate, playing way down in pace against Dallas. Yeah, I don't want to play the man without a usage rate. Wilson Chandler, 5.6K. Yeah, I don't mind him. I don't love the I don't want to do the judges special, the Gallo Chandler lineup. I mean, you could do it in like a large in a GPP with like 297,000 people. Like there was one on FanDuel on Monday, which was absolutely insane. You could go with a Gallo Chandler. If you played Gallo and Chandler on Monday night, they both had over 30 Fanduel points, and that's like the third or fourth time they've done that. So you can that's a legitimate move that you can do, and it can pay dividends. On Monday, you couldn't have done it, because then that means you didn't play Jimmy Butler and you would have ultimately lost. But they both played well. So Chandler's okay. It's just I don't love that matchup playing way down in pace, and I like other guys probably better. Covington, 5.1K. So he had about two really horrendous games in slow-paced games against Utah and Sacramento. Then he got a nice pace against Denver, and he gave me 32 Fanduel points. So he's becoming a guy that I look to target when he's going to get a team playing, when the pace of that game is going to be good. So here it's Minnesota at Philly. I don't know why the over under is 203.5. I guess Philly doesn't play that fast, but I still think this is a matchup that's okay for Covington. Wiggins is a pretty good defender, but Covington is still locked into a lot of minutes, and he's not a one-trick pony, and if he's making his shots, he can give you 35, 40 fandom points. So it's probably going to be a tournament-only play for me, but I will have some exposure. Jay Crowder, 5K. So the prices come down. Tough matchup versus Utah here, but Jay Crowder is going to do what Jay Crowder does. He's going to grit, grind, slime, dig, crawl his way to 25 fandom points. Book it on Tuesday. TJ Warren, 4.9K. Dirt cheap. Coming off of 41 minutes, 39 Fando points on Monday. Man, I wish I would have played him on Monday. He does have the upside. He was close to 7K at some point this year. I know he was in the sixes. So it is a back-to-back for Phoenix, playing down in pace. But that's too cheap. So he's still really risky. And the minutes are still not consistent right now. But for tournaments, he's an excellent play based on that salary. Luol Deng, I'm not going to touch him right now because of that setup, because he's been so bad. If you want to play him in like a tournament or something, you can do it, but I don't want to play him in cash. And that's about it for small forward. Power forward. Man, I feel like there's a lot of plays again. It's a long show. Definitely need to find a way to cut down these shows. I think that if I could get a show to like 45 minutes, that would be ideal. Right now, they're typically a little bit like an hour and 15 minutes. Which seems like a long time. LaMarcus Aldridge, 7.9K. I mean, Aldridge, you know, I call him Ronda Rousey's sister because how bad he beat me up, or how badly he got beaten up, whichever way you want to look at it. A couple nights ago when he had 16 fandom points and was the soul crusher, when mad scientist Stotts decided to make it his life's mission not to let LaMarcus Aldridge shoot that night. And Aldridge got 3 shots in 29 minutes. But if you take that game out of it, let's just take that game out because that was an anomaly. Look how good he's been the last 4 games. 50, 44, 44, 50 fandom points. So I don't think it's a wise move to ignore Aldridge. And he's got a really nice matchup here. Toronto, I don't know who the hell that they're going to have playing power forward. I think it's a guy whose name I can never even pronounce. They'll probably have some Patrick Patterson defend LaMarcus. But I think he's in a really good spot here. And I know it's hard to trust him in cash games, but on this slate, power forward is not that good. I don't love it that much. Right now, if I don't use LaMarcus, I'll probably go two value guys with some Jokic mixed in. But, you know, I think he's safe for all formats. I really do. He's locked in right now. He's playing really well. And I don't see any reason why he shouldn't get 40 fandom points on Tuesday. Jokic, 7.2K. So I'm interested to see how he does now on a back-to-back. He was great on Monday against Golden State. He had 44 fandom points in only 25 minutes. He continues to be just a fantasy point-per-minute monster. Now he's going to get a slow-paced game against Sacramento. I don't know who's going to be guarding him for Sacramento. It's going to be Willie Cauley-Stein or Kufis. He used to be able to abuse Sacramento as well. The back-to-back worries me a little bit, but he's in a really good spot. I will absolutely use him in single-entry tournaments and GPPs. The question is going to be, do I want to use him in cash games? I want to fade him for some reason in cash games because I want to play my boy James Johnson. But if you want to use him, he's safe for all formats. My ruling, where's my gavel? Ruling is in. He's safe for all formats. After I deliberated on that, Julius Randle, no, I don't want to play him against Memphis, man. I guess if Marcus Saul is out, maybe that'd make me want to play Randle a little bit more. But 6.7K with the Lakers playing way down in pace, he can give you. I mean, he's got a floor of 20 and a ceiling of 45. The problem is against Memphis. I think he's going to be closer to, you know, the 20 end, and I'd prefer Jokic to him. And I prefer Aldridge to him as well. Ersan Ilyasova. So I didn't see Okafor on the injury report. If Ersan starts, he's another guy. He's almost like a lock and load for cash games. he's been so good this year. He should be locked into playing big minutes if Philly really wanted just to win. But I don't know what the hell their true motives are. If Okafor is going to be out and he's starting, he's going to get 35 plus minutes and he's going to give you a 30. He's got like a floor of 25 fandom points with a ceiling of like 40 or 50. And I would love to play some Ersan against Philly. But I just don't know. I got to see if Okafor and Embiid are playing, that means Ersan's going to get 25 minutes. And at 6.1K, it's going to be hard for him to pay off value. So it's all about who plays for Philly. Tobias Harris has been really good coming off the bench. He's 6K, 32, 24, 38, 33, 35 since he's been coming off the bench. Basically, the second that he comes in, he gets to shoot a lot more because – and he's basically he's a mini version of Enes Kanter. When Enes Kanter comes in the game, especially when Westbrook goes out, every possession goes to Enes Kanter and his usage rate is through the roof. It's similar with Tobias Harris. When Reggie Jackson goes out and Tobias comes in, Tobias gets all the shots he can handle. So Detroit playing up in pace, I think it's a fine matchup here. Indiana really struggles to defend the power forward position. Tobias Harris, he's going to be low owned. So I think he's safe for this. The problem is the ceiling. It's just not tremendous, but you can do it. He's safe. He's fine for all formats. I won't play a ton of him. I just hope I don't regret it because Indiana, like, they have no one to match up against him. Zach Randolph, if Marcus Gasol is out with that sprained ankle, I will love me some Z-Bo against the Lakers. Even if Marcus Gasol is in, I think Z-Bo is fine for like cash games. The ceiling's not great, but cash games, he'll find a way to grind 25 fandom points against the Lakers. I mean, look at his game logs, 24, 33, 30, 28. And that's all playing under 30 minutes and usually around 25 minutes a night. So I think last time he played over 30 minutes, he got 32 Fando points. He's always been a fantasy point per minute guy. Not always, but this year coming off the bench, he definitely is. So if Gasol's out, I will love me some Z-Bo. Gorgui Dieng, you can do it. Safe. Nothing sexy. Not a big ceiling, but safe floor. James Johnson, that's the guy that I want to play again. I'm playing way up in pace Miami against Phoenix. I think it's a safe floor. And it's a really nice ceiling. I think he's got a floor of like 25 and a ceiling of basically 50. If Deion Waiters plays, I think that will hurt James Johnson's usage a little bit, but he'll still be an okay play. Last two games, 34 and 38 Fando points. Man, when he's on the court, they go to him almost every possession, it seems like. He's not just scoring dependent like he was in previous years. He seems to be, he's getting some more rebounds and doing some other things on the court this year as well. And he used to be just like a 3-point shooter. He's driving to the basket a lot for Miami right now. So I like him a lot on Tuesday. Thaddeus Young's okay, 5.2K. Jamichael Green, if Gasol's out, he'll be a really interesting play at 5.1K. Markieff Morris is dirt cheap. They're basically giving him away for free, 4.9K. If you want to play him, John Lewis still starting, 4.8K. Detroit playing way up in pace. I told you, Indiana really struggles to defend power forward. So I think, if I don't play Tobias Harris, maybe I play some John Lewis coming off a really bad game. The problem with Lewis, he's another guy. Usage rate is not really good. He's in the Otto Porter territory. And that's about it for power forward. All right, center. DeMarcus Cousins, 11.2K. He is the top play on the board for this slate. He was the only superstar did not play on Monday. He is playing on Tuesday. 11.2K is expensive. I don't think you have to do it on this slate. He's obviously fine, though, for all formats. Right now, I'm not using him in cash, although I obviously have no issue if you want to do it. Karl-Anthony Towns, 9.3K. If you want to save $2,000 from Cousins, you can play Towns. Towns has been super consistent. The usage rate is going up. He looks really good on the court. 37, 42, 44, 46, 33, 42, 42, 51, 64, last 8-9 games or so. So he seems to be getting somewhat close to value every night. And, with a floor of around 35, 36 and a ceiling of 60. So Philly struggles to defend the center position. Embiid is nowhere, even though Embiid is really skilled offensively and has, you know, a monster usage rate and is a nice play himself on Tuesday. I think Towns should be able to feast his way and bully his way to destroy Embiid on the defensive end. Andre Drummond, 7.7K. He's coming off a 50-burger. Detroit's playing up in pace. You can do it if you want. I mean, Drummond's cost me more money than anyone this year. I'm probably, for the most part, going to look in other directions. I mean, not a horrible play, though. Rudy Gobert, 7.5K. Just a nice, safe play. 43 FanDuel points on Monday against Brooklyn, where he was like 5% owned in the slam. I had a decent amount of exposure to him, and I couldn't figure out why he was so low owned. It was bizarre. But and he ended up doing really well, and every game, except the Lakers game, where he should have smashed value, he's gotten a double-double in, let's see. Wow, I mean, looks like 11 or last 12 games, something like that. It's basically an automatic thing. He's going to end up, he has a floor of like 30 FanDuel points and a ceiling of 45. If that's going to be good enough for you on Tuesday, you can play him. He'll be low-owned again. If he was 5% owned on Monday, where center was not that good, center's pretty loaded on Tuesday, so he'll be 5% again. So if you want someone for a tournament who's not going to kill your lineups, probably going to get close to value. He's in play. Al Horford, I don't really want to play anyone against Rudy Gobert, so I'll probably not going to play Horford. Embiid is 7.2K. Now, for Minnesota, I'm sure they're going to have Gorgui Dieng on him because Towns is similar to Embiid in some ways, where Towns is – I think he's actually worse defensively this year. Towns is really bad defensively. He gets abused by opposing centers. And also, they don't even make Towns guard most centers. I mean, Gorgui Dieng defends most of the centers because Towns just doesn't – I mean, for whatever reason, I'm not sure if it's effort or what it is, but he's not good defensively. So, I mean, Embiid against Dieng, look, the usage rate is still close to 30 – I think it's 34% right now. Let me just verify that real quickly. Yep, 34.5%. So it's still phenomenal. He's coming off 43 FanDuel points. Last few games, 43, 36, 38, 22, 53. So, yeah, I mean, look, he's $4,000 cheaper than Cousins and $2,000 cheaper than Towns. So the one question that I have here is, first of all, his price came up. It was 6.8K, now it's 7.2K. And then you got to worry about, because I think he will be guarding Towns, whereas Towns will not be guarding him, but he probably will guard Towns. I don't know who else Philly has to defend Towns. I mean, I guess Okafor, if he plays, could, but Okafor is even worse a defender than Embiid. That'd be a disaster. So I worry a little bit about foul trouble here. And yeah, so for me, I don't know if I want to play Embiid in cash games, but I know a lot of you guys are, and he's fine. He's fine for all formats. And I mean, it's cool when you have a guy who could be, he could end up being the highest, he could end up scoring the most FanDuel points in center, and Cousins is $4,000 more. So he's, yeah, fine for all formats. Miles Turner, 6.6K. Drummond is one of the laziest, most deficient, most disgusting defensive centers in the NBA. Him and Vucevic are like the two worst defenders that I've seen play this year and last year for that matter. So I think Turner's another sneaky play. I played him a couple nights ago at five. He's going to be less than 5% owned as well. Maybe he'll be a little higher because he's coming off a 45 FanDuel point night. But I think he's pretty safe. He's not going to kill your lineups, and he has the upside to go off for 40, 45 FanDuel points. Let's see. I don't really want to play Gortat way down in pace against Dallas. And I think Bogut's going to play, so I don't want to play Gortat. My boy Valanciunas, they just don't give him enough minutes, man. He got 31 against the Lakers. That's surprising. 27 FanDuel points. I mean, if he gets over 24 minutes, he will absolutely hit value and crush. So in theory, San Antonio, they need him to defend Aldridge and probably Gasol. and he should see close to 30 minutes, which make him in play. I will play him in a – if I have 10 lineups, maybe I play him in two. Tyson Chandler, wow, he's dirt cheap now. He's 4.8K. The problem is right now he's basically 24 minutes a night. I don't want – you know, 24 minutes a night, I really don't want to play Tyson Chandler. Although – Drummond took advantage of Miami because Miami really has no center right now with Whiteside out. So, in theory, Tyson Chandler should be able to get every rebound that's available. Andrew Bogut's 4.1K if you want to. If you got minutes, he'd be okay. Other than that, only other guy I'll mention is Showtime Willie Reed. Where is he? Where are you, big boy? There he is. Showtime Willie, 3.5K for Miami. He actually does have some talent. He couldn't stay out of foul trouble against Drummond. He had 11 Fando points on the 18 minutes. Now he gets Phoenix. Phoenix does not have an offensive center. So I think Willie Reed, you know, he could come through, man, and give you 20, 25 Fando points. And at that price, if you want to punt center, you know, to pay up at all at every other position, you can do it. Not probably an ideal play, but I think you can do it. All right, that's it. That is the slate. I think this is a fascinating slate. This actually, to me, is more fun than Monday when you have all the superstars where everybody knows all their names. Tuesday, you got to dig a little deeper, do a little more research, get a little more creative on who to play. So, super fun slate on Tuesday. I'm psyched about it. Remember, we're going to have Chambers, as always, and then we will also have a special Chambers on the app Draft. Make sure you download it. Use the promo code DFBPOD. Make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. And if you want a consultation with the judge, tweet at me at DanielAGreen1, or you can email me at the website, dgcourtroomdfs.com. And with that said, whew, I feel like we did a long show. It was a good show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Hope you guys learned a little bit. And with that said, where's my gavel? All right. Good luck. Hope you made some money, first of all, on Monday. And hope you dominate and you achieve the ultimate glory on Tuesday. Court is adjourned.